As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to Stars Matter, a recruiting podcast from The Athletic. I'm Mitch Light. And he is not Ari Wasserman. He's Andy Staples.
I have very strong opinions on mall food court bourbon chicken, though. So, I mean, I'm as close to Ari Wasserman as you're going to get.
If we need someone to play the role of Ari Wasserman, you can do so. And I'm confident you can do it quite well. But as any listener of this podcast or as Andy Staples' podcast knows, our friend Ari is getting married this Sunday. He's in sunny Southern California. I think the wedding is Sunday. So next time we hear from Ari, he'll be married.
He didn't get married in Norman, Oklahoma?
He did not. He couldn't afford it. It was basically everything was booked too expensive there. So he had to slum and go in Southern California. So,
well, the Tarahumara's catering is pretty pricey. So
maybe the honeymoon's there. I don't know. He has not revealed where the honeymoon is. But Andy making his third appearance on Stars Matter. We're going to do the normal stuff. We got trivia for Andy. But we're going to talk a lot about the NFL draft. If you're a college football fan, you're probably a fan of the NFL, but you're probably really a fan of the NFL draft because this is kind of where you see the guys that you've been watching for 3 or 4 years, where they might end up. I assume you're a big draft guy, Andy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is the nexus. This is where they overlap. I will say I've gotten a lot more into the NFL over the last 3-4 years just because NFL coaches finally stopped complaining about college offenses and were just like, oh, I know. Why don't we do some of the stuff they're doing so it makes it easier for the players to adjust? And what a miraculous thing. You get more interesting games when you do that.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and there's been more coaches going back and forth between the NFL and college, and that's something we've talked about in this podcast as recruiting becomes even more, I don't know if difficult's the right word, all-consuming. We're going to see more coaches leave college football for the NFL. But yeah, I've been dating back to probably the mid-90s when it became a thing on ESPN, I would sit down and watch, you know, all day, Saturday and Sunday. In fact, I went to the draft in 1995, right after college. I lived in Manhattan, and a friend of mine worked for the NFL. This is a cool job. My friend Doug Spitzer, who probably doesn't listen, I haven't talked to him in 15 years. He was a graphic designer with the NFL, and you're Mr. Jacksonville Jaguar. He was working there at the time of expansion, and he had helmet forms and logos of the Panthers and Jaguars that didn't pass. So he has these helmets of Jaguar logos that never got past whatever the protocol is there. So he got his tickets when it was at the Felt Forum, and Kijana Carter was the number one pick in the draft, a running back.
Did you boo the Jets pick of Kyle Brady in the first round?
I did not, but there was literally, this sounds like I'm making this up, Andy. There was literally a guy sitting next to me with a Jets hard hat on with planes sticking out of it like a jet. And when they picked Kyle Brady, he put his hand in, like you see on TV, his head in his hands and just started shaking his hands. I actually had a friend. You know, Kyle Brady went to Penn State. I don't know where he was from. If he's from rural Pennsylvania, we could obviously look that up. But I had a friend who was covering the draft, and I guess you took a shuttle from wherever they were over to the draft that morning, and Kyle Brady was actually on the media shuttle. And someone asked him, hey, you care where you get picked? And he's like, no, not really. But, you know, kind of anywhere but the Jets or the Giants. I don't think I could live in New York. And then an hour later, he's picked by the Jets and has to go in front of the media and say how he's
Kyle Brady from Metro Harrisburg, by the way.
Okay. So, I mean, you know,
about an hour and a half from campus.
I've driven through it many times on my way from Nashville, New Jersey to Nashville on 81 there. So he had to go in front of everyone and talk about how he was thrilled to play for the Jets and all that, but had a pretty good career, if I recall. Good player.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's two picks after Mike Mamula to the Eagles.
A workout warrior. Yeah, I was looking there, and that was the big one was Warren Sapp there, falling to Tampa Bay.
Yes. So Tony Boselli, Hall of Famer, Steve McNair, Hall of Famer.
Derek Brooks,
Hall of Famer. Warren Sapp. Kevin Carter, very good player for the Titans. Yes. Michael Westbrook, good, productive NFL player. So Joey Galloway. There's some good players in this draft.
Yeah, that was
definitely Ty Law.
Good. Yes, very good. Ellis Johnson, Florida.
Big D tackle.
Yeah.
He and Kevin Carter were kind of the scary part of Florida's D line in that era. But I don't know that Ellis had as good of an NFL career as Kevin did. I think Kevin had a little more productive NFL career.
Yeah. Putting you on the spot here. It could be a quarterback, could be an easy position. As a college football fan over the years, name a guy that you're just, I don't know, shock's the right word, that you're just like, This guy's going to be a good pro, and he just maybe don't, could be injury, could be whatever. I'll go while you think about it. Maybe because I live here in Tennessee, and I thought Jake Locker was going to be a good pro.
He was quick. He had a good quick release. Because it was like they always call him like the Tim Tebow of the Pacific Northwest. But yeah, it felt like his throwing mechanics were a lot better than Tim Tebow's.
And he seemed like a winner type guy, you know, just kind of put the Washington program on his back. I think he got there. They were bad when he got there, and they slowly got better. I
thought Matt Barkley would be a better NFL quarterback. I mean, he's still in the league.
Like, yeah,
he's still getting a check, so good for him. But I thought he would be a starter and would be, you know, a long time starter in the NFL, and it just hasn't worked out that way.
You can not answer this if you don't want to, but is there a guy you played with at Florida that you're like, wow, that guy's an NFL player, and just you're surprised it didn't pan out?
Well, there's a guy I played with at Florida who would have been an NFL player had he not been the first person to ever collect on one of those insurance policies. And his name's Ed Chester. He was a defensive tackle. He would have been a first round draft pick. He would have been a very productive NFL player, and also just one of the best dudes you'll ever meet. But he had a horrific knee injury against LSU his senior year. It was one of those that when the doctors looked at it, it was like, we only see this in car accidents sort of thing. And it was pretty clear he wasn't going to play again. And so he had the $1 million insurance policy. And I'm not sure I don't know if he spent a penny of that yet, because like I talked to him about it years later, and he was still driving the same vehicle he bought right after college. And, but just a good guy. And, you know, I think he would have been a very productive NFL player if healthy. Another guy, and I see him quite a bit because he lives about a mile from me. Now, this is a different story. Cooper Carlisle, who as a young player at Florida got thrown into the Florida State game. I think he was a redshirt freshman. He's a left tackle. So thrown in when Zach Piller couldn't play in the 96 Florida State game in Tallahassee. And, you know, Florida fans were just merciless to Cooper, and he got put in a horrible situation in that deal. Wound up becoming a very good college player, but you didn't realize how productive an NFL player he'd become. I think he played either 10 or 12 seasons. He played for the Broncos and the Raiders, and was really good in the NFL. So that's one of those and he's salt of the earth guy from Mississippi, works his butt off, and you know, had those natural athletic gifts where he's 6'5", 6'6", and 300 pounds and can bend. And but yeah, it's one of those things where as a redshirt freshman, you're not looking at him going, this is a 12-year NFL player. But then by the time he got done at Florida, you thought, okay, this guy's going to play in the NFL. It's just a matter of, you know, does he find the right situation?
Yeah, a lot of random guys like that who had good college careers, and then you look up and they've been in, you know, half of them went to Iowa, but they've been offensive linemen in the league for 8 years, and you say, hey, that's not a bad living. If they can come out healthy, they're you know, set for life. So that's a pretty good gig. Hey, let's you wrote a very interesting story about Texas A&M and kind of the intersection of NIL donations and booster, like athletic fundraising.
Yeah, donations. Giving to the athletic department versus to players.
Yeah, I want you to set this up in a second, but I want to ask a question first. And you live in this space a lot more than I do, is talking to administrators. When all this started 2-3 years ago, what my interpretation is, one of the reasons schools were pushing back was because if that boosters have X amount of money to give, and if they start giving it to the athletes, they're not, the schools aren't getting it, and they can't rate, they won't be able to enhance the facilities. Was that a legitimate, and were you hearing that?
Yes, absolutely. That was a fear in a lot of circles, and it still is. You know, I think it depends on the school. So I did a story on Texas A&M, but I've also been to Tennessee, been around some of these SEC programs. I think the big money SEC programs, the big money Big Ten programs, they will have plenty of money to go around. You know, if you've got a passionate fan base that gives a lot, or a big alumni base that gives a lot, you're going to have money for facilities. You're going to have money for player. You're going to have money for all of it. I think it's maybe the Ole Misses of the world, those types of schools, where you may have to have some people making some choices. And I'll be curious to see how that turns out. But Texas A&M, I thought it was interesting because everybody assumes, like, everybody bought that $30 million number. I don't understand why so many people want to believe that.
And I loved how you showed
the face of common sense.
Mr. Like, Bread, showing Mr. Bread the proper respect that he deserves.
Right, slice bread, baby.
Yeah,
I like, so that came from an Oklahoma message board, you know, fan site message board. It was aggregated by brobible.com. Like, there's nothing about this that makes it credible. Also, just understanding how stuff works. Like, as Jimbo Fisher put it when he was talking to the donors, like, it would have been the dumbest business decision in the history of football to spend $30 million on a recruiting class. Like, if they had $30 million, I would say that you'd earmark probably a third of that to get Kenyon Green and DeMarvin Leal back for another year.
Why try to sign a five-star when you've got two five-star All-Americans?
Here is two first-team All-SEC guys. Like, we'll pay you what the NFL will pay you this year. Come on back.
Right.
Like, they couldn't do that because they don't have that kind of money. And so the deals for those players, and they did make deals with a lot of those recruits. No one's even hiding that. But it wasn't the level of financial commitment that people are thinking. Now, this is the difference between A&M and some other places. When you talk to some of the people that are involved in what they call the fund at A&M, they'll
come up with a catchy name like other schools.
They don't understand why everyone else is advertising. Right. Like, they're laughing at that guy in Miami who's just paying everybody. They're like, why is he putting this in a tweet? How much money these people are getting? But their whole thing is, look, if we can afford to do the 8 million over 4 year deal that the one guy did that Stuart Mandel wrote about, like, we would, but we can't yet. But we're trying to. We're working on it.
That was the one thing with the rumor in A&M. Like you said, they're not denying there were deals, but that just didn't sit with me. Is that, like, could they have gotten that much money that quickly? Like, this all came about, and they already had half this class committed in the 2022 class.
Yeah, that's the great irony of all this is – what really made the money roll in for this capital campaign that Texas A&M just started, and the major projects in the capital campaign are a new indoor for the football team, a new academic and nutrition center for all the athletes, and a new indoor track. It's going to require quite a bit of building and require some kind of footprint moving around of stuff. And ultimately, it'll all cost $235 million. The capital campaign, the idea is to raise $120 million. As of last weekend, when the quote-unquote quiet phase ended, they had $88 million in pledges and $27 million in hand, which in the fundraising world, that's pretty good. That means you've already got financing. You can put shovels in the ground. Let's go. And so the thought is they spent all this money on this recruiting class. They didn't. But getting this recruiting class essentially bought them a new indoor because that got all the donors excited and they started giving to this fund.
Totally. One thing that Jimbo said, and I think a lot of coaches feel this way, and I wanted to, do you think this is a real concern and a legitimate concern? And I'll just read the quote. At the end of the day, and this is from your story published today, mm-hmm. The Athletic. At the end of the day, understand something. The people who are only focused on NIL, I don't want them. Because they're never going to be able to be at the level of ball where you have to play if that's the way they're going to make decisions.
So what does that sound like to you? What is the other major topic we're going to talk about today?
The NFL draft.
The NFL draft. What is the most common question that every team wants answered? How much do you love football?
Yes.
Like, if you are a millionaire, will you still love football enough to fight for a job on a football team? And it's weird. I was on the phone with Stuart Mandel today, and we were talking about this. I don't know that the NFL scouts and GMs are going to have to ask that question anymore. They're already going to know. But now the college coaches are going to have to figure that out.
Right. And I mean, that's – and I'm all for all this, for all the guys getting paid, but just from when we first started talking about this years ago, and maybe this is too old school, and hey, you were in a college locker room. The thing I feared, and maybe fear is not the right word, is just – The quarterback or the starting wide receiver getting $1 million or $500,000, and the backup wide receiver or the guy who's not getting the targets, who thinks he's as good and his dad thinks he's as good, and the chemistry that can affect the locker room because he's not getting the touches to get the deal or the money. And then this is kind of what Jimbo's saying there too. It's like, you got to love football. You got to come here for the right reasons. If you come here, you're going to get paid, but we don't want you to come here just for the money.
And that's what I keep telling people about Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State, the ones that have been getting the best players all along. They don't have to pay as much as everybody else because they make first rounders. So people who are smart, who are thinking about this thing properly, and listen, the people who become first rounders, some of them are just absurdly talented. But for the most part, they are absurdly talented and combine that with a maniacal work ethic that if you didn't pay them a cent, they would still do it because that's who they are. And those are the types of players that Nick Saban's been able to get for a while. Georgia's now in a situation where it can turn away a five-star that does not have that mindset. And so they're not going to have to pay as much because they're going to be able to get that kind of player because that's the kind of player they've been getting. And those players will look at the history of creating first-rounders and go, okay, I will get something here. Because that's the thing. Like, Georgia and Alabama are not going to not pay them. Like, they're going to get something. But the reward at the end of the rainbow is potentially massive compared to anything any other school could offer.
Yeah, it's like what if you want to call it like hometown discount, which they refer to in the NFL or something
and
like
A&M,
that.
A&M can't say that the way that Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State can, but it can say it more than a lot of places. You know, A&M's put quite a few guys in the first round over the last 10 years. And so they can say, look, we will get you drafted. We will develop you and get you drafted. So it's the ones that can't say that right now, like Tennessee, Texas, where they're not getting guys drafted, that I think you probably do need to pay a little more. Like, you probably do need to offer more to get somebody to say, but this is a double-edged sword, because if you only get the guys who want the most, who are just looking at it from a dollars and cents right now perspective, they may not be the kind of guys that are going to get you where you want to go. So it's a tricky situation.
Yeah, and you hear coaches talk to kids like football, or do they like to be recruited? And if you get too many guys who just like to be recruited, you're not going to win.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, so let's catch up on a little bit of news. Busy time for commitments. We went for about 6 weeks with maybe one or two Power Five commitments a week. In the last 7 days, have 24 Power Five commitments. Big week for, I mean, for Tennessee.
You know why that is, Mitch. Committable offers are coming out because the coaches are on the road. I think I can reveal his name. Herb Hand, one of my favorite offensive line coaches. Line coach at UCF, calls me yesterday. He's like, I'm going to test you. And I'm like, okay, what are we talking about? He's like, I'm leaving a restaurant in Jacksonville. What is it and what did I order? I'm like, the Bearded Pig, brisket poutine, and a beef rib. He's like, close. I also got collard greens. And I was like, yes, I've still got it.
Yeah,
but they're on the road looking at guys going out to high school spring practices, seeing people in person. And I think you're seeing some committable offers come down the pipe and players snapping those up.
Yeah. And Tennessee, Sylvester Smith, four-star safety from Alabama. And we've talked a lot about this podcast. You might hear, okay, he's the number 13 player in Alabama. Big deal. Well, this is maybe the best
this year
ever.
That's pretty darn good.
Yeah, there's 22 four-stars in Alabama. So he's the 13th player in Alabama, but he's top 147 kid overall. Tennessee's class now number 8 overall, 4 top 150 players. Last year, they had a total of 2 top 150 players. So sure, Nico's getting all the buzz, but this class is starting to have some depth. And I get into this with Ari all the time here. You know, I've lived here, lived in Tennessee for a long time, since the late 90s, went to college here in the early 90s. I've seen Tennessee at its best. You covered Tennessee. Ari's a little bit younger than us. He just thinks Tennessee sucks and whatever. Like,
exactly.
This program has so much potential. Now, it's swimming in very deep waters. We know Georgia has not been.
Play Alabama every year from the West.
Sure, we get all that. But I cannot remember a time when Tennessee has had such positive momentum. Now, they've recruited well in the past. Butch Jones, every coach who's come, even Derek Dooley he might not have signed offensive linemen, but he still signed a lot of good players.
An entire class with no offensive linemen. Let's not soft pedal that.
Yes. The planets seem aligned right now. And you can, you know, Josh Heupel.
I can't imagine why.
But they've got an exciting coach, and I can, NIL aside, I can see why kids wouldn't want to go play for Josh Heupel. So I think Tennessee fans have a right to be excited. And here's what I want to ask you, someone who's been in the SEC, covered the SEC, covered Tennessee specifically. It seems like from the president, the AD on down, things are aligned like they have not been aligned.
Yes. And that is, it has been so long since Tennessee has had that sort of alignment that it's really interesting to see, because it is a place where there are resources, there is money, the fan base, the passion of the fan base is unmatched.
I would say unrivaled, but that's a James Franklin Penn State thing.
Yeah,
so
in the best and the worst ways, they are the most passionate fan base. Like, they love it the most, but they're the craziest. But the thing is, you harness all that and you have everybody kind of pulling in the same direction. That's a great thing. By the way, I'm going to plug, if you have not listened to the Hendon Hooker podcast episode or read my Hendon Hooker story, Tennessee starting quarterback joined the podcast this week. So you can find that anywhere you get your podcast and on YouTube.
Very good player. And after praising Josh Heupel, I still don't know. I'm not a practice, obviously. I'm not a quarterback whisperer. But that was a puzzling Joe Milton over Hendon Hooker last year.
Have you ever seen Joe Milton throw a football at practice?
I know how coaches can fall in love with.
I am telling Marcus you right now, every coach in America will watch him throw and be like, I can fix whatever problem there is. Just give me him right now.
Okay, so I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan.
Yep.
And I will defend them by saying no organization would not sign Kyrie Irving. Like, if he was a free agent.
Correct.
Joe
is not someone.
I'm not saying he's a mental. He's got issues.
Right. Like, he's not going to cause a problem. Yeah.
No coach is going to work Joe Milton out and not. Like, I always say, coaches have big egos. If they didn't have big egos, no one would take the Duke job or the Vanderbilt job or, you know.
A coach who recruited Joe Milton out of high school and didn't get him said, he will look like the best quarterback you've ever seen in your life. And if you stand behind Joe Milton when he throws a football, you will say, I have seen the face of God. Like, it is beautiful. Beautiful.
And he throws it to the back over the back of the end zone.
Right. And then you get him in a game against a pass rush, and he's sailing stuff. And that's the difference they saw between him and Hendon Hooker in practice, where the guys aren't live, you're not worried about getting hit, Hooker doesn't look as good. Because Hooker, what makes Hooker good is being able to escape some of those situations, right, or being poised enough to throw with the rush right in his face, which is what they kind of figured it out in the Pitt game when Milton had to come out and Hooker goes in, and there's a play down in the end zone. And in the podcast, Hendon and I will rewatch that play together, and he explains what happened. But basically, there's a nose that does a swim move and beats his guy. And he's about to smash Hendon. He's got his hands up like a basketball defender closing out on a three-point shooter. And Hendon just doesn't even flinch, throws a perfect pass over the head of a safety into the tight end's hands, touchdown. And that's Alex Golish turned to Joey Hazel, the quarterback's coach, and goes, I haven't seen that in a while.
And guess who the starting quarterback was the rest of the year? Mm-hmm. They made the right choice. Notre Dame back to number one in the nation. Busy week. Braylon James, four-star wide receiver from Round Rock, Texas. Sam Pendleton, four-star interior offensive lineman from, I just wanted to say this name, Fafftown, North Carolina. Fafftown. I want to get a Fafftown, North Carolina t-shirt.
That is fantastic.
I wonder what their nickname is. We need to find out.
I drove through Old Dime Box, Texas last week, and I always liked that one, but Fafftown sounds pretty awesome.
Have you driven through Toad? Is it Toad Suck, Arkansas? I think that's the name of it.
I don't think I have. And actually, near where you live, you've got Bucksnort, Tennessee.
Yes,
Bucksnort's a great name for a town.
In college, we stopped at the gas station there and got Bucksnort trucker hats. I don't know where that's probably my parents' house somewhere. Yeah, that's a good one. Notre Dame something Ari and I talk about a lot. This class, what other top 10 classes at Notre Dame don't have is the depth of top 100 players, and that's what separates you. There are a lot of really good classes that don't have the high-end talent. Notre Dame is getting that high-end talent. Arkansas got a quarterback, Malachi Singleton, a three-star quarterback from Kennesaw, Georgia, but Luke Brown.
Quarterbacks named Malachi are in this class?
Yeah, and you'd think, like, was there a great Malachi 20 years ago? No, like, I don't know where these names are coming from.
This isn't like when everybody was named Shaq.
Right. Yeah, we did that.
Or named after members of the Wu-Tang Clan.
At Athlon, when I was at Athlon Sports, about 10 years ago, I went through every college football roster in basketball and, like, figured out how many Shaqs there were, and they were all, at least
so many.
18 years after, you know.
By the way, you're going to be very disappointed with Fafftown. It's not Fafftown High. It's Reagan High School, and they're the Raiders. Oh. So they went with
boring,
pretty common nickname. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Maybe we'll have Ari and I will have the mayor of Fafftown on the podcast one day.
We got a nice line, according to the picture I looked at.
Good to know. Luke Brown, an interior offensive lineman from Paris, Tennessee, which is about, I think, an hour and a half west of Nashville. Jackson State, three-star wide receiver, but a top 400 kid from Fairborn, Georgia. Robert Lockhart. Texas Tech.
Wait, Dion went into Atlanta again and got – listen.
Yeah.
So by the time you're listening to this podcast, my mailbag will be out. And Stuart Mandel answered a similar question in his mailbag from a different person. But I want to bring this to you, Mitch. I'm curious about this. Because the person asked me, said, you know, if Mike Norvell can't get it done, would Florida State consider Deion Sanders? And also, is there too much bad history with Deion Sanders with prime prep and all that for him to get a job? And I'm like – we are being extremely short-sighted with Deion Sanders, because if he wins 11 games again at Jackson State or something like that and continues to bring in really good recruits that have much bigger offers, why would Florida State be the only school interested in him? Like, what if Jeff Collins gets fired at Georgia Tech? Would he not go there?
That seems like an ideal fit.
Well, okay. And let me ask you this. He's not Deion Sanders, the greatest cornerback of all time. His name is Bob Smith. He played corner at John Carroll. He GA'd at Michigan State. He then was the DB's coach at, I don't know, you know, pick your FCS school. And then was the DB's coach at Miami of Ohio. And then was a defensive coordinator in the FCS, and then got got the Jackson State head coaching job. You put what Deion's done at Jackson State on that guy's resume. That guy's the hottest name one of the hotter names in coaching. Like, he's getting an FBS head coaching job next year.
but too many schools are scared off by, okay, well, why didn't Lance Leipold get a job? Because he's the head coach at Buffalo. Like, I put his resume. I mean, he was at Division III for so long.
He's Division III.
Yeah, he hasn't come through the G. But you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of schools, like, are reluctant to pull the trigger.
Lance Leipold is a Power 5 head coach, by the way.
Yeah, so, no, but it took a while. I'm saying,
why wouldn't Deion be? But
I'm agreeing.
Lance Leipold's not the greatest cornerback who ever played. Right. Like, that actually should count on the plus side of Deion's ledger. For some reason, it feels like people are treating it as a minus.
Yeah, I think the more years, I mean, this is obvious, but the more years he stays at Jackson State and shows he can win football games and not just make headlines. And like, this is a top 400 kid. You know, the headlines are the five stars, but this is how you build a program. And they're right. going to start to dominate.
That's how you build a Power 5 program, yeah. Like a lower, you know, not
sure,
like a Georgia Tech, not a Clemson, but a Georgia. Well, and Clemson's made hay with some of those types of guys, but that's the thing I don't quite understand, because I think people just, they're very dismissive of the guy when he is actually done a pretty good job. He's raised the profile of Jackson State. He's raised a lot of money for Jackson State. Somebody wrote me a few weeks ago and said, well, how come there's no F1 drive to survive in college football? Like, how come nobody's done that? Well, if you actually watch the documentary that Deion's done with Barstool, it's really interesting. It's the closest thing and the most interesting, you know, four-year college documentary that we've seen. I would say Last Chance U was really, really good and really interesting. But among the four-year schools, you know, all the Michigan All or Nothing was super boring. That didn't teach us anything. The Showtime shows where they went to Florida and I think they went to Penn State. Like, those were all very staged.
Did you watch the Navy one?
I did not watch the Navy one.
That was a good one. I enjoyed that one. And Ken Niumatalolo, really interesting guy. That was good. But no, I agree. All right, let's transition. We're going to use Dane Brugler's mock draft, our athletics draft expert. The 32 projected first rounders, we're going to go through, spend some time on each guy and talk about their kind of recruiting history. We can do this many ways. Andy, I can read off the name and see if you guess what star they were. See
if okay, you, if yeah. You, if you I have I have a list of a few, but I also remember a few. But yeah go ahead.
Okay, number one, Aiden Hutchinson, edge from Michigan.
He was a four-star. I remember that.
And four-star from
top 100 guy?
112, so.
Okay, so close. Yeah.
Yeah. Top player in Michigan's 2018 class that was ranked 22nd overall from Dearborn, Michigan. Number two, Trevon Walker, edge from Georgia.
So he was a four or a five-star. And
five-star.
Five-star, okay, yeah. It's almost like stars matter. I know they're going to tell you they don't when Jordan Davis, the three-star, gets picked, but they very much do, because you're going to hear a lot of these the same
every year.
The
same, yes, there's X amount of three-stars, and we'll say it now. Do you know how many three-stars there are versus how many five-stars? So just play the percentages.
Yeah, there's like 1,500 three-stars a year and 32 five-stars a year.
Yes.
So the hit rate on the five-stars is significantly higher.
Yeah, from Thomaston, Georgia, he was one of five five-stars in the 2019 class. Not surprisingly, Georgia won the national championship in 2021.
Five five-stars. And they got – I think they got more the following year.
Yeah, maybe. Would they get seven the next year? Because there was a stretch there were seven. It was Ohio State and Georgia and Alabama, I think, were three-way tie for the most until Texas A&M busted through that. Number three, Texans, is it Ikem Ekwonu?
Ikem Ekwonu, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I just see these guys.
Now, he's a three-star guy. Bruce Feldman and I talked about him on the show yesterday. Bruce has been a very early Ikem adopter, and he's one of those guys that offensive line coaches absolutely love. Really blossomed at NC State, and it's kind of an NC State story. They're pretty good at taking those guys and turning them into pros. And so
had a lot on the defensive line at NC State.
Yeah, and they've had quite a few on the offensive line as well. So I think this is, you know, you'll get the stars don't matter thing with Ikem, but you know, you're going to have guys like this. And I think with offensive linemen especially, it's hard to judge how a guy is going to look You know, when he's 16, 17, what's he going to look like when he's 21, 22? And then Bruce was talking about this because the pure scouts don't necessarily like him as much as the offensive line coaches do because he's like a little bit knock-kneed. And so he probably was dealing with that as a recruit where the coaches were looking at him and like, okay, you don't quite fit the physical mold we're looking for, but then you get him on the field and he's just, you know, stud.
Yeah. From Charlotte, number 612 overall, picked NC State over UNC, Georgia Tech, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Virginia, and others. Now, this next guy, Jets, Kayvon Thibodeau, sort of the opposite.
Number one overall recruit.
Yes. Class of 2019, Thousand Oaks, California, highest rated recruit in school history. The number two recruit at Oregon. I'll give you 3 seconds so we don't have dead air time.
DeAnthony Thomas.
Helado Ngota.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that panned out quite well.
Yeah. Not much to say about Thibodeau. We all know his story. Huge recruit. Good career. Some injuries.
Kind of dropping in the draft because
a lot of questions about
sure he plays every play.
As a guy, does he love it? You know, we'll find out. Number five, Giants, Evan Neal, offensive tackle, Alabama.
That's a five-star. I remember going down to IMG Academy to do a story on Daniel Fa'alele. Before he had played a game, he'd come over from Australia, had participated in spring practice and was in or had participated in practice during a season, but they hadn't played him in a game because he didn't know the rules. And this was their spring practice before Daniel and Evan's senior season. And Evan was obviously a starter on that team. And you could tell. I'm like, who is this guy? He's like 370 and can move. And at Alabama, he slimmed down and just looks like a million bucks. I would have a hard time. Like I realize that there are a lot of people who like Ike Okwonu better, the people who like Charles Cross better. It would be very hard for me to pass up on Evan Neal if I'm looking for an offensive tackle.
Number six, the Panthers, Kenny Pickett, quarterback Pitt.
Kenny Pickett, I believe, is a four-star recruit.
Three-star.
Three-star, really?
Okay. Number 738, and this is back when the quarterbacks are all one category. He was the number 33 pro-style quarterback from Oakhurst, New Jersey. Other Power 5 offers, BC, Iowa, and North Carolina. And he was a guy that – I call this my Reggie Ball theory, where, like, Reggie Ball was good as a freshman at Georgia Tech, as a true freshman. So, like, everyone fell in love with him. The media fell in love with him. But he really didn't get much better. Like, so, like, senior Reggie Ball was about the same, but he had this great reputation. That's the way I looked at Kenny Pickett for his first few years. He jumped onto the scene late in his freshman year.
4 years. Because, remember they had Max Brown. He gets hurt. Pickett starts his first game against Miami, which was undefeated at the time, and Pickett wins that game.
And so then we just kept Kenny Pickett the next great thing, and he never really did it until this past year.
When he really was.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Number seven, Sauce Gardner to the Giants, cornerback, Cincinnati.
I'm thinking three-star and probably one of the higher-rated recruits in his class at Cincinnati.
I'd have to go back. He was number 1672.
So maybe not. Yeah. Because Fickell has gotten higher rated recruits than Cincinnati usually got.
Definitely.
But this is one of those. They clearly have a very good eye for talent, that staff. And his
offer list will kind of suggest that the rankings didn't catch up to him because a guy like 1672, you expect, does not have any or maybe one or two power
five. That might be his only FBS
Kentucky,
offer.
Kentucky, here, well, two schools. Okay. If Kentucky and Iowa State offer you,
oh my God,
you're better than, yeah.
We have the best evaluating staffs in college football. Cincinnati, thought Sauce Gardner was good. Yeah.
So that should tell you that.
Like, there should be an algorithm, Mitch, like at all of like Ohio State, at Alabama, at Georgia. Like if Cincinnati, Kentucky and Iowa State all offer the same player, like a siren should go off. Like, go check this dude out.
Exactly. Well, I don't know if you saw Bill Landis and Sam Kahn wrote that story a couple of weeks ago about like the art of the first offer and why some schools are reluctant to, they don't want to
get out their paper. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that would be a good case study there. Here's one that I sort of misremembered. I thought he was a bigger recruit. Malik Willis, quarterback, obviously Liberty, but from Auburn.
He was I believe he was the second recruit in that Auburn class, or was coming the year that Stidham became.
He was a three-star So I just thought he was, I thought he was a four-star. Number 368, he was an athlete, number 21 athlete.
Yeah, I mean, so he's on the cusp of being a four-star.
Yeah, same class as when Stidham transferred in, technically from junior college.
Yeah, so what happened with Malik is he instantly became the backup to Stidham. And I did a story on him last year in a podcast, and he told me that because he became the backup instantly, he just assumed, oh, this is easy. It's my job when Jarrett leaves, and didn't do the work it took to win the job when Jarrett left. And that's what happened. And Bo Nix ends up winning that job. Malik ends up having a transfer. And he said, you know, I'll never make that mistake again. And I kind of believe him, seeing the way he's blossomed since then.
Yeah, that's interesting. Number nine, Seahawks, Derek Stingley, cornerback, LSU.
Five star, baby. Yeah.
Number three overall. Yep.
Instant impact as a freshman. And then injuries. Brody Miller's story on him and The Athletic, by the way. If you would like to subscribe to The Athletic for $1 a month for your first 6 months, go to theathletic.com/Andy Staples. That Brody story will open your eyes on Derek Stingley, because everybody's looking at him as kind of a diva who didn't want to play. That is not the case at all. He was injured. He was telling them, I'm going to play through. People were saying, maybe you shouldn't play. And he kept trying. Hurt himself more. So I think, now granted, that is the message they want to get out there before the draft, but I do, from talking to people who are in that program, tend to believe that.
Number three recruit in the modern era of LSU, behind Leonard Fournette and Russell Shepard.
Oh, Russell Shepard was a big time recruit out of Houston.
Yes.
Quarterback
moved to receiver, never really could find his niche. I think he was in the NFL for a while just because of his talent, but never really found its niche in college.
One of those guys, he may be the one that started the porta potty business.
Really?
it was somebody who, his dad ran like a trucking company or actually had a, yeah, it is Russell Shepard. So his dad worked in like moving porta potties from place to place. And so he understood the business from growing up around it. So he invested some of his NFL money, and I believe at the end of his NFL career, he was making more money off the porta potty business than he was from his NFL paycheck.
What a country.
Yeah. And apparently it blew up during the pandemic. So he's doing great.
Number 10, Garrett Wilson.
Chef Boys Waste Management LLC.
That's awesome. Garrett Wilson, wide receiver, Ohio State, to the Jets.
I want to say high four star.
Very high five star. Well, mid-level five.
Oh, he's a five star. Okay.
20, yeah, number 20 overall. Number two wide receiver in that class. Lake Travis, Texas.
That number 11, Austin area. Yep.
Yeah, number 11, Kyle Hamilton, safety, Notre Dame.
He was a five star also, wasn't he?
Close, four star. Number 60 overall, Atlanta.
Okay, so not quite a five star. He's about probably 28 spots below.
Yeah, but had a Georgia offer from Atlanta.
Yeah, and he was considered a very big time recruit, one of those guys that everybody thought would just jump in and play right away, which he did. And yep, I think he will do the same thing in the NFL, that he will be awesome right off the bat.
Yep, great career. Number 12, Vikings, Trent McDuffie, cornerback, Washington.
So is this a Chris Peterson OKG, or is this a Jimmy Lake kind of going for a little higher profile?
This is one of the guys that Jimmy Lake probably got the head coaching job because he got him.
Yeah, four-star. Yeah.
126 overall from St. John Bosco, Stanford, USC. His profile showed a Bama offer, but this is back when Jimmy Lake was getting those DBs. And then they made
Jimmy going Lake down to Bosco and getting a guy like that, that is big. If you can prove that you can go into a California powerhouse and take those guys.
All right, one of the more interesting guys in the class, Texans, number 13, Jermaine Johnson, edge, Florida State, transfer from Georgia.
Trying to remember what he's from Minneapolis. Eden he was Prairie, considered a very good player, didn't really have the grades, had to go JUCO. So
last
I don't
chance
know what
you. He played on the Independence last chance U team.
So, but was considered one of the best JUCO prospects in the country.
If you're number one, that's pretty, considered one of the best.
So, well known as a recruit,
three star. Yes, three star. I couldn't sometimes on this profile, like his on the 247 profile, it goes to his JUCO rating. So I couldn't. He was a three star coming out of Minnesota.
Right,
could not find the number, but
I think like, he would be the equivalent of a high four-star or a five-star coming out of JUCO, yes, given the offer list.
Yes. 14 Ravens, Devin Lloyd, linebacker, Utah.
Probably three-star, I would imagine.
Three-star, had one Power 5 offer.
Utah.
Kyle Whittingham. We need to add him to the Iowa State, Kentucky.
Yes, to the alarm. Yes. Yeah, just set up the algorithm that if two of those offer somebody,
right,
the siren goes off.
Yes. It's just I want to see like just a random position coach sitting in his office at a school and he's just got like a little buzzer on his desk and when that happens, it tells him who to call. So he was the number 1631 recruit in the nation from Chula Vista, California. Okay, here's the poster child for three stars, 15 Eagles, Jordan Davis, defensive tackle, Georgia.
Who says Kirby Smart just recruits? It turns out they know how to evaluate too, because there were not a ton of blue chip type schools on Jordan Davis. Now I believe later as the interest ramped up, there some of them came late, but it seems like Georgia coaches kind of had him nailed from the outset.
Yeah, he was number 424, so you know a relatively high three star.
Yeah.
So, and he was the, I think they signed 24 guys that year. He was the 23rd ranked recruit in the class. So I'm sure there are a lot of people on Dog
Van. And the other one was a kicker. Boards.
Yeah, questioning, you know, why are we signing this guy? All right, you mentioned number 16 earlier to the Saints, Charles Cross, offensive tackle, Mississippi State.
He was a five-star, I believe.
Five-star.
By at least one ranking.
Yeah. Number 27 overall, number 5 offensive tackle from Laurel, Mississippi, FSU, Ole Miss, USC.
Yeah, signed with the Moorhead staff, but it's interesting because what he's kind of physically suited for, the Leach offense was perfect because he's such a graceful pass blocker, was designed to pass that. He's quick. He's got the sewing machine feet. Now, he probably has to improve in the run game. And if he played in the Moorhead offense, he probably would be a little more developed in the run game, but I don't know if you would have seen, you definitely wouldn't have had as many reps as a pass protector.
Now we're going to the other end of the recruiting spectrum. Number 17, Chargers, Trevor Penning, offensive tackle, Northern Iowa.
Northern Iowa. So no star, two star?
No profile. No 247 profile. Wow. So a no star from Mason City, Iowa. So.
Wow. So there's pretty much one of these in every first round.
Yeah, I think there's one more. There's going to be another player without a profile, unranked player coming up. So, all right, let's try to move a little. These are just some interesting dudes here. Number 18, Drake London to the Eagles, wide receiver, USC.
Four-star.
Yeah. Number 247 in the 247, number 35 wide receiver.
There should be a bonus for that.
Yeah, offers from most of the Pac-12, so just kind of your standard USC recruit there. Number 19, Saints, Jameson Williams, wide receiver, Alabama, obviously Ohio State.
A four-star signee with Ohio State. Yeah, I mean.
Top 100 kid.
Yeah, and Olave is going to be the one that is the diamond in the rough, even though he was a very high three-star.
Right.
Four-star by somebody.
Yeah, Jameson Williams from St. Louis. Here's an interesting one. Steelers, number 20, Desmond Ridder, quarterback, Cincinnati. Another very good evaluation.
But not by Luke Fickle and staff.
Predates
by
them?
The Senator Tommy Tuberville and staff.
Ooh.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think Desmond was committed.
Okay, the timeline sounds about right.
Yeah. So, three-star?
Three-star, 1657 overall, number 116 athlete from St. X High School in Louisville.
Okay, good high school program.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
By my research, I did a little digging. It looks like he picked Cincinnati over Eastern Kentucky.
Wow, the Colonels.
Yes.
Yeah. Trying to get in there. The pride of Richmond, Kentucky.
In college, I got into a car accident in Richmond, Kentucky.
Oh no.
Senior year, the SEC, this is back when the SEC basketball tournaments were like at campuses. It was at Rupp Arena. I was covering it for the school paper, and there's a snowstorm in March in Kentucky, and we couldn't get a hotel anywhere close. So we were in Richmond, Kentucky, which is about 20 miles down 75, I guess.
Yep.
And skidded right near our exit in Richmond, skidded off the road, and there was like a 10 car pileup, car spinning down a hill, and I got hit. So yeah, I was right. And I could see it was so close to our hotel. It was like right off of the interstate and we were almost there. So that's every time I see Eastern Kentucky, I think of that.
I covered Noah Spence's pro day there.
Okay.
Noah Spence started his career at Ohio State, finished at Eastern Kentucky, got kicked off the team at Ohio State, and wound up becoming a second round pick. So
yeah, we went, we had about six people in our hotel room there and we couldn't drive. And some of us volunteered to walk into town to get some beer. And as we left the hotel, we found a Domino's delivery guy who we paid him to drive us into town and we got beer. Wow. He drove us back. He was getting married. So we gave him a big tip. And then my buddy and I, we sat outside the hotel room for like 20 minutes and got really, really cold and came in and acted like we walked into town and back. So everyone thought we did that. We didn't tell him until like the next day that we got a ride.
Hey, at least you brought beer. That's
oh yeah. No, we were well stocked for the evening. All right. Patriots 21, Dax Hill, DB, Michigan.
That would be a 4-star.
5-star.
5-star. Was he really? Yes. Okay.
That's back when Michigan wasn't getting a lot of 5-stars. Number 14 overall from Tulsa.
I did not realize he was ranked that high.
From Tulsa, wow. Oklahoma. All right. Here's our guy, 22 Packers, Chris Olave, wide receiver, Ohio State.
He was a 3-star in the composite. I believe 24/7's ranking had him a 4-star.
And but as Ari's written about and talked a lot about, I think he had an injury his junior year. He just wasn't evaluated, basically.
Right, exactly. It was a lot of people kind of missed on him. And you know, Ohio State, believe it was Ryan Day who kind of stood on the table for him as an assistant.
I think they might have been scouting someone else and saw him or something. Yeah. 23, Cardinals, George Karlaftis, edge, Purdue.
I
misremembered this one too. I thought he was
a really good player. He's from West Lafayette, right? Yes. So 4-star.
Yeah, high 4-star, number 59. High four,
yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, his story is it's you know, kind of it's sad the way it all happened. The family was living in Greece. The father died. The mom is from America, brought the kids to America because that's where her family was. And so they settled in West Lafayette. And I believe he chose Purdue to be close to home and close to his family. So
number 24, Zion Johnson, offensive guard, Boston College.
So this is a Steve Adazio recruit. And for no?
Well, let's see. He transferred from Davidson. Oh. So
that's right. Wow. Okay.
So he's one of our no profile guys.
Yes, a Pioneer League. That's right. He did. Oh my gosh. Wow.
So probably not an adopt. If you train, I think he was there 2 or 3 years. You think
no, so it didn't want to be one that Halfley had grabbed.
There's a lot of buzz here in Nashville about the Titans taking him because he was a roommate with Titans head coach. What's the Titans?
Oh, he was a roommate of Vrabel's son. Vrabel's son's an offensive
Tyler.
Tackle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So
yeah, he just mauls people. I mean, he really does.
Yeah, he could very well be a Titan soon. All right, 25, Bills, Treylon Burks, Arkansas.
I'm going to bet he was a 4-star.
He's a 4-star and number 103. And this is, and I love Sam Pittman and he deserves all the credit, but another example of like, he inherited a much, and you've probably written about this.
Oh, he told Morris me that.
Chad Morris told me when he got the job because
I'm like, oh, it's pretty tough. You know, that they've lost so many SEC games in a row. And he's like, no. The roster's good. Which
exactly.
He didn't say this, but I'll say this. Chad Morris knew what he was looking for. He just couldn't coach that him once he got him.
Sam Pitt, that is the ideal situation to take over. A team with a bad record and good talent. And
yeah,
he pushed all the right buttons. Give him credit. But he knew
when he walked in, he's like, no. This is a pretty good roster. I can work with this.
Yeah, I saw them 1 year in person and I was like, you know, they had some dudes. 26 Titans, Kenyon Green, offensive guard, Texas A&M.
He was a 5-star.
5-star.
He was like a number 15 overall recruit.
Number 15 overall recruit.
Was he? Okay. Yes. I knew it was something like that. All right.
From Humble, Texas.
Humble.
Yes.
Texas.
And
Houston.
And part of that breakthrough went at Jimbo's first good class there. Number 27, Bucks, Devontae Wyatt, defensive tackle, Georgia.
4-star?
4 out of high school, went 1 year at Hutch Community College from Decatur, Georgia. But he was a 4-star coming out of high school. Packers, 28, Travis Jones, defensive tackle, UConn.
2-star?
3-star, but 3-star. Close. I don't know. Number 1978 recruit from New Haven.
You got to be in like the 22s to get down to the 2-stars. So.
Okay. New Haven, Connecticut offers from Rutgers and BC. Chiefs, 29, Kerr Elam, cornerback, Florida.
He's a high 4-star, I believe. Yeah.
Okay, since you got the last one right, you want to just pick a number, what recruit he was?
I want to say he was like – I've actually written it because I had to write about what level of recruit Dan Mullen got. Was he 42 or something like that?
48. Okay.
Oh, I know.
Your streak is over at one, but good job. North Palm Beach, Georgia offer, Miami offer. 30 to Chiefs, Boye Mafe. That's how you pronounce it?
Yep. That's exactly right.
Edge, Minnesota.
That's a high 3-star?
Low 3-star. 3-star, 1493. Now, the number 78 weak side defensive end. Rutgers was from Hopkins, Minnesota. Rutgers was his only other Power 5 offer.
Wow. All right. Well, that's good job, PJ Fleck and company. That would have been early on in PJ Fleck's tenure because he's older, I believe.
Yeah. 31, Bengals, Tyler Linderbaum. Every college fan and media member loves Tyler. Center from Iowa.
The wide zone god.
Yes.
Was he a 4-star? Please tell me he was a 4-star.
Close. 3-star, number 409.
Dang.
From Salone.
Misevaluated.
Iowa. Yeah.
Poorly evaluated.
And then in the final pick in the first round, according to Dane Brugler, the Lions select Jahan Dotson, wide receiver, Pennsylvania State University.
4-star.
4-star, number 192 from Nazareth, Pennsylvania. Shows Alabama, Clemson, Auburn offers. So good on James Franklin.
He would have been very productive in any of those places. He's a very good player.
Yeah, definitely. So some stats. There were 8 5-stars, 10 4-stars, 12 3-stars, 2 unranked, a little more, 12 top 100 guys, 17 top 250, and 21 of the 32 guys were in the top 500. So
more than half of them were top 250.
Yes.
That's pretty impressive. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know, because we get on the people doing the evaluations and the rankings individually because there's guys who bust. But that's a pretty good track record right there. Like the NFL wishes it had that kind of track record.
Right. I mean, anybody who rips on recruiting rankings, just look at the NFL. I mean, these guys, the hit ratio is not any better. It's a difficult game. All right, you ready for a little trivia?
I am.
Okay. Number one overall pick in the NFL draft. I basically went back 17 years, but it's everyone who's had a profile from basically 2002 on, not the 2002 draft, because those guys would have been from, you know.
Right.
So basically, so last 17 years includes every player. Okay, I just said that. How many 5-stars? So what's the break? What's the 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, 2-star breakdown of number one overall pick?
17. Well,
Ari says something usually so stupid, like it's not even mathematically possible. So you'll probably his answer would be like 25 stars. Even though
I know Jadeveon Clowney was one of them. So there's at least one 5-star.
There were two number one overall. There's two number one overall recruits were number one overall picks.
Trevor Lawrence and Jadeveon Clowney.
Yes. And there was number two. Can you name that number two guy? He's in the NFL. He's wasn't a butt. Well, obviously wasn't a butt. Number one overall pick. He's a good NFL player from Texas. Plays in Ohio.
University of Texas?
No, he's from the state of Texas. Played collegiately in the state of Texas. Plays professionally in the state of Ohio.
In Ohio. Baker Mayfield? No, it wouldn't have been. He's a walk-on.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm thinking.
Miles Garrett.
Miles Garrett. Oh, okay. There you go. Gotcha.
So that's 3 5-stars right there. So how many 5-stars?
Five 5-stars out of the 17.
Seven.
So. Seven. All right. Seven. So who are the ones we're missing here?
Okay. Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray,
mm-hmm.
Miles Garrett, Jameis Winston.
Oh, Winston. That's right.
Jadeveon Clowney. Now Cam Newton was a 5-star coming out.
Yep.
Coming out of high school was a 5-star. And Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford. That's right.
Okay.
That's pretty good evaluation there.
Six 4-stars. I'll go over the 4-stars. Joe Burrow. Jared Goff. Did not realize that Goff was a 4-star. I would have guessed 3-star. Andrew Luck was a very high 4-star.
Yes.
At 42. Jake Long, 106. Jamarcus Russell, very high at 38. Mm-hmm. And Mario Williams, one of those NC State guys, at number 78.
He's the he's the one everybody assumed Reggie Bush would be the number one pick in that draft, and Mario hopped him.
No, 2-3 stars. Baker Mayfield, 1029. So he was, yes, he was a walk-on, but he could have.
Yeah. Well, he also had, like, he had a Washington State offer. Yeah. And then I think he had three or four Group of Five offers as well.
Now, I would have guessed this guy was a 4-star, Sam Bradford, but a high 3-star at 307.
Interesting. Okay.
In fact, a lot of guys in 300s are 4-stars, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That is interesting. I did not realize Sam Bradford was a 3-star.
Okay. Can you name the two 2-stars? The two 2-stars. I mean, I've got it right in front of me. So, I mean, like, I would have.
I'm just trying.
I might have gotten one.
Well, I would have said Baker Mayfield, but he was a 3-star. David Carr?
No, that predates this.
Okay.
Like,
all right.
He was like 2001, I think.
Yeah, I can't remember when he.
All right. One of them played in the MAC. One of the more uninspiring drafts.
Ooh. The offensive tackle. He went to the Chiefs, Eric Fisher.
Yes. And the other one, Alex Smith.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. That's right. He was a number one overall pick.
Yep.
And then Aaron Rodgers fell. I would imagine Aaron Rodgers was not a big recruit because he had to go JUCO first. JUCO.
Snow, yeah. Right? Didn't he go, I think.
Yeah, he's Snow College.
Yeah. So, all right. A lot of good draft talk there. Any other draft nuggets? Yeah.
I'm just excited. I enjoy watching the draft, especially first round. It's one of my favorite things. Laramie Tunsil is selling the video. I didn't look how much gas mask.
Did you look how much it was? I did not.
No, I have not. But I appreciate him turning this into a charitable endeavor and being able to laugh about it now, because it did cost him several million dollars on that night. But given that he is now reaching a second contract as what is considered a very good NFL offensive tackle, he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I remember I was at my son's baseball game that night, just on my flipping on my phone and just seeing that and just like, oh my, like the shit hit the fan.
So I was at SI. We were doing our live web draft show and we see it and I'm texting people at Ole Miss, like, is this real? Find out it is real. And so we're just talking about it. And we were amazed because we had the official broadcast on the TV in front of us and they didn't mention it for a long time. Like I don't know if they couldn't get it verified or their standards for verification were higher than ours, but it was crazy because we were like, what the hell is going on here?
That was in real time within the information age that we live in. That was crazy.
You know what the lesson for all of you kids out there is, just erase your iPads before you give them to anybody.
Yes. Don't tweet and erase your iPads. So
yeah, don't never tweet is also just a good life lesson.
Yes, but, exactly.
But yes, please erase your iPads before you give them to anyone, especially someone who is a little shady and maybe mad at you for not making the financial deal with them that they thought you were going to.
Exactly. So, all right. Well, good show. We missed Ari, but Ari's hopefully working on his tan right now. And we'll
tarp off, baby, going into the nuptials.
And we'll be wed. Hopefully, he's got a big signing day ceremony. We think she's going to pick the right hat. We think she's going to put on the Ari Wasserman hat.
Do you think he's got his like win hat? Like Ari's win hat is on the table in front of her.
Yeah. Is he going to wear the hat
at the wedding?
Yeah. Hope not. Although he said he got a haircut last week. That was the worst haircut I ever got, but his hair grows quickly.
He sent me some pictures from about 10 years ago. It can't possibly be worse. So,
yeah. So, all right. Well, good luck to Ari. Well, he'll be back. I think we're all going to be in Phoenix at a college football summit for the Athletic next week. I think we're going to do
have a very special Stars Matter.
Yes. We say live show. It's not really a live show. It's an in-person show, which should be fun. So Andy, thanks for pinch hitting. You are now two guest appearances up on everyone else. So you're
building an insurmountable lead.
Yeah. Sam Kahn and Max Olson are threats to catch you at some point, but right now you're looking good.
No one's really a threat. My name's on the feed. Like I can be the guest whenever I want to.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you how this, Ari said, Andy wants to co-host the show next week while I'm gone. I'm like, Okay, it's on the Andy Staples feed. He's gonna co-host the show if he wants. So no, I can't, but thanks for
that's one membership has its privileges situation.
Exactly. Well, thanks for joining, Andy. It was fun. Love talking NFL draft. And everyone, thanks for listening to Stars Matter. We'll be back next week with a more recruiting focused show. While this one talked a lot about the draft, once again, Andy, thanks a lot, bud.
Thank you.